Hello and welcome to another one of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now today I wanted to talk about a problem that an awful lot of people suffer from. I can hold my hand up and say I have been one of those people. I am sometimes one of those people. Sleep. Insomnia. That sense of just not being able to sleep. Often when I speak to people about sleep problems, I like to say, is it a problem about getting off to sleep or is it a problem about staying asleep? And to be perfectly honest, 90% of the time it's about the waking up and not being able to get back to sleep. And what happens there from a physiological point of view is that when we wake up, we have a release of cortisol, which is our kind of get up and go hormone. It's the thing that is our paleo selves. It's our thing that said, get up, get out there scavenging, get out there, you know, hunting and fishing, because you need that to survive. And it's a bit of a leftover thing. So that is our, you know, you wouldn't think so in teenagers, obviously, but when we first wake up, we do have that kind of, it's not quite an adrenaline, but we do have that kind of chemical rushing around us that's saying, right, get up and get out and do. So you are fighting against kind of nature to begin with when you wake up and you have a difficulty getting back to sleep. Just very briefly, obviously, some of the symptoms of sleep are things like irritability. And the guy I'm going to illustrate this with, a chap we'll call Eric, he'd become so irritable and angry and stressed and all the things that, you know, a lack of sleep starts to implicate on, that his wife had actually asked him to come. It's something he didn't think he needed to talk about, but it became useful for him to be able to actually just kind of explore what was going on for him, what was going on for them. So yes, Eric had been sent. And also he was beginning to slightly start medicating because he was lacking sleep. He was starting to medicate, self-medicate to get himself to sleep. And it just wasn't working. If you start trying to kind of, you know, have wine at 11 o'clock at night, it's not going to work. So he'd been sent, and he'd also tried briefly tablets, but he just said they gave him a weird taste in his mouth, so he stopped doing that. So yeah, that lack of sleep, it's something that an awful lot of people suffer from. And you know, we're kind of, again, to go back to our kind of paleo natural selves, we're almost hardwired after, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours or something to kind of seek sleep. And that's why a lot of people kind of, if possible, have little cat naps, no more than 10 minutes, because there's various different kind of stages of sleep. And that first sleep can be your best sleep. That first kind of, you know, when you're sleeping properly, obviously it goes into hours, but almost that first kind of unconsciousness can be a really, if you just do it on a 10-minute thing, can be a really quite refreshing thing. So if it's possible, that's something that, you know, maybe you could factor into your life. Not sleeping, and I would say don't, if you're going to catnap, do not go to bed, because bed is where you do your big sleep. You know, have a snooze on the couch or somewhere comfortable, maybe on the train on the way home or something. But maybe just kind of slightly factor that in, because we are programmed to need our little kind of energizing naps and things. So if we go back to Eric, things had kind of been okay. When I took a history, things had been okay for him sleep-wise. And it was when they had started to have children. And he'd started to overwork because he wanted to make sure that, you know, he's providing for the children. He could started getting a little bit anxious about things. And that was starting to affect his sleep. And he, you know, described very typical things that he'd wake up, he'd think, right, I've got to get back to sleep. And then the back to sleep was the thing that started really making his mind race. And the best thing that you need to do, the best thing that I've found, you know, there's no absolute answer to people that struggle with their sleep, but there are little tips and you can retrain yourself. And one of the best things that you can do is fill your mind, because people start having this racing mind of all the things that they've got to be doing, and then they start kind of ruminating on all the things that they did and they did wrong. So you know, you're kind of putting an awful lot of stress and pressure on yourself. So you've got to fill that space. And the best way of doing it is to fill it with something as dull and as monotonous as possible. There are quite a few apps out there that you can download, and it's just kind of somebody droning on. You know, it sounds awful to say it, but they are kind of made this way, that it's just monotonous and it will just bore you back. There'll be, you know, people reading books on, I don't know, something really dull, like, you know, European economics or anything like that, but just somebody that will just drone on and fill that space. But if possible, have it on some sort of timer as well, because what you don't want is to say, if you're, you know, one of the things that I found useful was to listen to overnight speech radio, nothing with any kind of music or adverts or anything like that, that would just drone on. And it was the key to say, okay, right, you can go back to sleep now. And that's what you're essentially looking for. You're essentially looking to give yourself permission to go, no, go back to sleep. And if it is somebody going on about something, you know, just talking, and that talking in itself just gets you to go back to sleep, that's what you need. And eventually what will happen is that you won't need that as much. It's different for different people, so I can't say how long it might take for different people. But you're just allowing yourself that permission to say, go back to sleep, and have it ready. If you have something, you know, if you have a clock radio, if you have an app on your phone or anything, have it ready by the side of you. Phones essentially aren't the best thing in the world, because obviously you've got that bright light, that blue light, that again is just very stimulating. But have it ready and have it on the lowest setting possible. So if you do have to turn your phone on, you're not being blasted and you're not being woken up even more. If you think about things like, you know, a famous chronically poor sleeper was Winston Churchill, you know, the World War II British Prime Minister. And what he used to have, and again, this is another tip for people, is he would have a bed in his office, always made up, a camp bed, always made up. And then that way, when he wasn't sleeping, through obviously thinking about what was going on with the war, which is fair enough, he then didn't get anxious about disturbing his wife. So he used to then go to this little cot bed in his office. And that is another useful thing. So have a spare bed made up. If you haven't got a spare bed, can you have a few blankets and a couple of pillows ready on the sofa? Because when you have all this stuff ready, what happens is, again, you're giving yourself permission and you start not actually having to use it, but you know that there are alternatives there. You know, the golden rule is, if you have woken up and you're still awake after 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the maximum, you really can't get back to sleep, then go to the other place. Make it as kind of comfortable and as secure as possible. Make it, you know, nice and warm. You know, put a, you know, one of the useful tips is to, if you are going to go to another bed, put a hot water bottle in it already, so it's there ready, so you're not getting into a freezing cold bed and then stimulating yourself even more. But get everything ready. And after a while, you find that you don't need it as much. It's a stage. The poor sleeping can just be a stage. Another thing is, make your sleeping area as dark as possible. So if you've got any street lights, if you've got anything that might be waking you up, especially when it starts getting to a lighter time of year, have something that you can put over your eyes. And, you know, maybe if you're not listening to a podcast or the radio, then have something that you can kind of shut off the noise, because again, you are just saying to yourself that this is sleep time, and you need, and you're giving yourself permission. You're giving your brain permission to kind of go, okay, this isn't the time for getting up. We need to go back to sleep. And having something dark, making it dark, is giving yourself that permission to do so. And also, you want to make your bedroom as, you know, have the association of it as going to sleep. So you want to make it secure, you want to make it as comfortable as possible, but you don't want to spend too much time there, because often people, when they're sleep deprived, they think, okay, I'll just go and catch a few, I'll catch a bit of sleep up, and I'll catch it up in my bedroom. But then it doesn't quite work like that. And you kind of, as I say, you want to do that elsewhere, because you want to just leave your bedroom for your major sleep. So, you know, obviously you've got to be in your bedroom and things like that, but don't be sleeping in there during the day if at all possible. It might be the only place that you can go. If you've got a busy household, it might be the only place that you can go. But if that's the case, then don't get into bed. Don't kind of be kind of sending the signal to yourself that you are going to sleep like you normally do, because you're not. You're just literally having a nap. And so don't get, you know, just kind of lie on the bed, put a blanket over you or something, but don't make it as if you are going to bed, because then you are just going to end up confusing yourself. So there are different things that work for different people, but basically what you're trying to do is, one, fill the space that kind of gets all the thoughts rushing around in it with something else, something boring, something monotonous. Keep your bedroom bedroom for your actual sleep space, make it comfortable, and then have your alternatives if you need to. And then you're not lying there worried that you are disturbing somebody else with your tossing and turning because you can't get to sleep, and then they start not being able to sleep. So you have your alternative and you have somewhere else to go. There are kind of, you know, lots of little tips around. So have a look on the internet. There might be something that works for you that, you know, somebody else has tried. It's a bit of trial and error, but I just have a couple of golden rules, as I said, kind of something to keep the mind occupied so you're not thinking about the sleep and the worries and things about the day, and also just, you know, kind of keep your bed space to where it is, keep it dark, and have your alternative. So if all else fails and you do have to get up, and if you do get up, do not start reading, do not put your phone on, do not put the iPad on, do not put the television on. The only thing that you're allowed to kind of have a stimulus for, very gently, very quietly, is an auditory stimulus, but no music, absolutely no music, because you will be anticipating the notes that are coming up, and that's what you want. You just want to be spoken to, and then you will be literally bored back to sleep. I have been Dr. Jane, and this has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast, which I hope you found useful. If you go to drjane.co.uk/podcast, you can subscribe so you can hear all future episodes. And I will speak to you again very, very soon.